It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN, presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on this Friday, St. Patrick's Day on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app. Let's get the housekeeping stuff out of the way again today. All right, reset what's been happening all day long. Rich and Arnie just finished up at McGillicuddy's in Williston. St. Patrick's Day. Look, if you're in your car right now home from work, you might just want to turn around or get yourself there as well. The guys are hanging out. The food is great. The beer is cold. The Guinness is flowing. Jameson shots. Whatever Irish-themed thing you want today, McGillicuddy's Williston is the place to get it. Head over there. NCAA tournament action. If you want to listen to the games, there's a few games going on right now. North Carolina in the process of blowing out Texas Southern. That game almost over. We've got Rhode Island and Creighton in a good battle with about 12 minutes left. Rhode Island leads by six, looking to pull the 11-6 upset in that one. The games are on 960 The Zone. Once 7 o'clock hits, we'll have both stations airing the game. So 960 The Zone and 101.3 ESPN at 7 o'clock will both have the coverage of the NCAA tournament. If you want the games now, 960 The Zone. You want sports talk, I'll keep you updated on the games right here on 101.3 ESPN. If you want to call in at all, 802-655-6672. You want to talk about UVM, I'm sure you do. Again, write that phone number down, 802-655-6672. Cats lose yesterday, 80-70. They fall to Purdue in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I tell you what, we were all hopeful that UVM was going to win this game. I was hopeful. I picked Purdue to win, and this is not about me being right. We were all hopeful UVM was going to win. They came out and did almost exactly what they needed to do. They hit three-pointers. They hit 10 threes. Generally, that's pretty good. They got contributions from some X-Factor type guys. I mean, Darren Payne came off the bench and ripped off four straight points midway through the second half. They got some contributions from Dre Wills on offense getting to the free throw line. That was good. Their big guys hit threes. Anthony Lamb had and Peyton Henson combined for five total threes. Those guys did their job. Trabell Haynes got into the lane and created open looks for jump shooters. A lot of the formula, a lot of the recipe for the upset, it was there and it was followed. Where did UVM fall short? They were out-rebounded by 10. And if you're going to play a team that is bigger than you, from a bigger conference than you, that has size that you don't have, you cannot allow second, third, fourth shot opportunities. What happens when you do that? Well, of course, now you open yourself up to giving up more points because there's putback opportunities. That's what you saw with Caleb Swanigan. Leads the nation in double-doubles for a reason. You saw that on display yesterday, 16-14 for Purdue. If you allow second, third, fourth opportunities, you're putting yourself at risk for foul trouble. Anthony Lamb had two fouls quick in the first half. Sat out on the bench halfway through that first period or through that first half. He was in foul trouble. If you allow that, then you just tire yourself out having to play more and more defense, having to hunker down. It's deflating. UVM was out-rebounded by 10. That was a problem in last night's game. But all in all, what more could you really have expected? This is a team that won the most games in program history, became the first team ever in the America East to go unbeaten, 16-0 and then 3-0 in the conference tournament. They won 21 games in a row at one point. They took a team from the Big Ten regular season champion, to the brim. I mean, this was a one-point game midway through the second half. This was a two-possession game with 5-6 minutes to go. UVM played extremely well. Where do you go from here? If you're the Catamounts, well, you can only go up. This program continues to trend upwards. You bring back the player of the year of the league in Trabell Haynes. You bring back the rookie of the year in the league in Anthony Lamb. You bring back the coach of the year in the league, we hope, we'll get to that in a second, in John Becker. You bring back a fan base that is energized. You bring back all kinds of depth. Peyton Henson's back. Cam Ward is back. You lose Dre Wills, Kurt Steidel, Darren Payne, but you've got some guys sitting on your bench that redshirted, including Everett Duncan, who played at 27 games last year. You have guys coming back. You have a new arena that could be hopefully 5 years away from completion if everything goes right. the program continues to trend upwards. If you're disappointed yesterday, you should be disappointed. I understand that. But you should also be incredibly proud of where this program went this season. Anthony Lamb, after the game, after his 20-point performance, was asked on our postgame show right here on 101.3 ESPN how he would describe this season.
It's amazing. That's all I'd recap in one word. But I'm just grateful for just the opportunity to be here, be at Vermont, and just to show what I got, and just hopefully gave people something to be proud of and be happy for in the coming future, because we have more to come.
You definitely gave everyone here something to be proud of. You definitely hope there's more to come. I mean, I don't know how much better it can get. I mean, even if this team had gone, 21-11, but won a game in the tournament, I don't know if that would have been more fun than the ride of getting a 13 seed, of going unbeaten, of winning 21 games in a row, of getting mentioned on SportsCenter. I don't know if that would have been better. I like it like this. We're upset, sad they didn't win, but the future is bright. Again, you want to get in 802-655-6672. It is Champlain Valley Game Night on this Friday. And we talk about all the things UVM brings back. Well, how about head coach John Becker? Are you going to be able to bring him back? Look, he's got a great thing here. He's got a fan base that loves him. He's got players that love him. He's got a lot coming back in terms of that depth, as we just told you. But what's the one thing he can get other places? Money. So there are going to be people out there asking for John Becker's services, asking to talk with him. And one of those places might be Quinnipiac. Rumor has it from the Hartford Courant that the Quinnipiac men's basketball job could be filled as early as next week. UAlbany head coach Will Brown, Vermont coach John Becker, Robert Morris coach Andrew Toole, Iona associate Jared Grosso, and Southern Connecticut head coach Scott Burrell are all believed to be a few of the candidates. For the record, I don't think John Becker's leaving for Quinnipiac. I'm not saying John Becker doesn't leave for a better opportunity at some point, but I don't think he leaves this offseason for Quinnipiac. That is not a better job than Vermont. The difference in conference play between the America East and the MAC, which is where Quinnipiac competes, is not high enough to warrant Becker leaving right now. Because also, what you have coming back is you have, as we said, Lamb, Bell Haynes. You have an arena that's in the process here of being finalized to get built. This program can only trend upwards, and your team has a chance to be maybe not better than this year, but to get back to the tournament again and be the best team in your league again. I don't think John Becker, I don't think it would be a smart move to leave this job for Quinnipiac. Again, the negatives to me don't outweigh the positives. If this is about basketball, it's not even close. If this is a basketball decision, it's not even close. You can win at Vermont. You can't win right now at Quinnipiac. You're years away from winning. You've already built it up at Vermont. Why go to build up Quinnipiac again, who can't beat Siena, who you beat by 20 early on in the season? They can't beat Siena. They can't beat Iona. They can't beat Monmouth. I mean, that's not a better basketball job. If it's about money, well, then maybe you start to make that conversation. But I've never gotten the impression that John Becker was just out for the money. I mean, look, I don't know the full updated figures. Tom Moore, who was the guy who was just fired at Quinnipiac, made $370,000 back in 2009. Imagine what he was making 8 years later. If I'm reading everything right, and I looked at John Becker's contract, if I read everything right, he's making $230,000 this year. So a guy was making $140,000 more than him 9 years ago than what Becker's making now. If this is about money, then I guess it's a conversation. John Becker's family lives in Connecticut, close to Fairfield. That's where Quinnipiac is. If it's about the other things, I guess it's possible. But if it's about basketball, I'm staying right here at the University of Vermont, unless NC State calls me, unless one of those big conference, big programs that has money where I have a chance that I can win. The MAC is still a one-bid league. You have to build up Quinnipiac into a spot where they're the conference champions. If you can get to the ACC and NC State, then you have to be, what, 6th, 7th, 8th to get to the tournament? And that's the goal every single year. If I'm John Becker and Quinnipiac calls me, I'm not even answering the phone. I'm waiting to see what happens at NC State. I'm waiting to see what happens at Indiana, at Washington, at these marquee jobs, because I want to see who fills those positions and what are the places that those guys vacated. Are they better? John Becker, if it's about basketball, I would not worry about Quinnipiac. That's not the smart play here. If it's about family and money, well, then maybe it's in the conversation, but it doesn't seem likely to me. It's Champlain Valley Game Night on this Friday on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Again, McGillicuddy's in Williston. Very, very good to our station today. The party is raging there, and we're 47 and a half minutes away from me going over there as well, I think, here. We'll keep you posted on NCAA tournament action. Good one brewing again between Creighton, the 6th seed, and Rhode Island, the 11. Rhode Island holding on to a lead right now. It was up to, it was about 8 the last check that we had. We'll keep you posted on that as well. Games are over on 960 The Zone. NFL news, it's Rhode Island up 5 now with 8:53 to play. NFL news. The Giants have signed Jason Pierre-Paul to a 4-year deal. You want to get on that? 802-655-6672. Jason Pierre-Paul was going to be a Giant next year anyways because they put the franchise tag on him. JPP was going to be a Giant. The 4-year deal is good for the Giants and for JPP in a lot of ways. One, this deal gives JPP long-term security. It's a financial home run for him, $54 million guaranteed, and he knows where he's going to be playing for the next 4 years. For the Giants, they secure now one of the most dominant defensive fronts for the foreseeable future. Jason Pierre-Paul, Damon Snacks Harrison in the middle, and Olivia Vernon on the other side. The Giants' defense the last couple years up until last year had been the issue. Now, you've solidified that defense. That front four, which is JPP, Vernon, hopefully Jonathan Hankins, who now they can bring back, and then Harrison. You've got that front four set. At the back end, you've got Janoris Jenkins, who had a great year, and Landon Collins, who's another Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, another great player. So you look at that, you've got six great players already out of the 11 on your defense. This move was necessary because it solidifies that front. Also, it gives the Giants some cap relief. The Giants only had $32 million in cap space this year. Depending on how they spread apart the money, they're not beholden to $17 million, which is what the franchise tag would have been. If JPP, if they can work this deal right, it gives them some franchise or gives them some salary relief and gives them a chance to go out and try to re-sign a Jonathan Hankins. Then, so now where do the Giants go? You have that front four, you have that defense, you have the 23rd pick in the draft. What are you looking at? You need an offensive lineman because Eric Flowers has struggled. You need a running back because you let go of Rashad Jennings. Can you look at Christian McCaffrey? Mel Kiper thinks he's going to go mid-first round, but is he going to be there at 23? Is Dalvin Cook going to be there at 23, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, a guy who's a physical runner who can move the ball downhill? Eli Manning has the wide receiver set. He's got Odell Beckham Jr. He's got Brandon Marshall. He's got Sterling Shepard. Can you get a tight end at that spot at 23? Can you get an O.J. Howard? Do you want to make that move? This move solidifies your defense. Now you can go through and look at real, real needs that this team has in the draft, and you need a running back, you need offensive line help, you need a tight end, and then you need some other young pass rushers that are there as depth pieces in case something happens to JPP. Remember, he played 12 games last year, missed a couple with a core injury at the end of the year, and you need somebody in case something happens to Vernon. So you can go and get some depth places. The Giants came out yesterday as 10-1 odds to win, or is 18-1 odds rather, to win the Super Bowl. I thought that was entirely too low. They were like outside the top 10 when Bovada out in Vegas came out with their lines. Giants to me are a really good team. I know they're hampered because they play in the same division as the Cowboys, and everyone's in love with the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are really good, and they warrant that love and affection. But the Giants are really good. You're a G-Men fan right now. I think you should be feeling very, very good about where things are. Washington, will take a step back this year with their offense. The Eagles, they improved their wide receivers core, but what is that defense going to be? What is Carson Wentz going to be in year two? And are the Cowboys going to be able to be as dominant? I mean, they lost a couple offensive linemen. They lost some of their O-line depth. Is Ezekiel Elliott going to be the player we saw in year one again? Is he going to figure out off the field? Is their wide receiver depth? Is Jason Witten going to get, you know, show his age again this season? Giants are in a good spot. Champlain Valley Game Night on this Friday. When we come back, we'll play batting practice. We've got Derek Dunning, Norwich University Sports Information Director, joining us from the Women's Frozen Four. Talk about Norwich's loss, talk about Plattsburgh's win, and talk about the Norwich men. All that and more next on St. Paddy's Day, 101.3.
Host Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Champlain Valley Game Night. Brady Farkas here on this Friday. 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app. We go up until 7 o'clock, and then we bring you NCAA tournament coverage right here on this station. It's going on already on 960 The Zone. And some brackets continuing to maybe be busted here. We got the 11 seed Rhode Island beating Creighton 62-53 right now. So we'll keep you posted on that game. Again, we've got Derek Dunning, Norwich University Sports Information Director, but he's out at the Division III Women's Hockey Frozen Four out in Michigan, as it is, it's Plattsburgh now who has beaten Norwich, and Plattsburgh going for its fourth straight national championship. They best Norwich 4-0. We'll talk about the Norwich men's team, which is playing in the Frozen Four tomorrow in Lake Placid. I made it my bold prediction here for the year 2017 that Norwich would win the national championship. They'll tell us, can they do it? We may also get a couple minutes with Sam Hyman, UVM men's basketball broadcaster, as well, wrap up the Cats season as well. But as we do every day, the best sound bites in sports, batting practice.
Champlain Valley Game Night, batting practice.
Let's go right to that UVM game again. Look, you want the highlight here. This was on national radio, Anthony Lamb for three.
Vermont with the basketball back. Inside of 5 minutes to play first half. Three in the corner by Lamb, and it's good. Anthony Lamb has 11, the freshman on the biggest stage.
Played very, very well. He had 20 points. He was the leading scorer. And if you want to show your appreciation to that UVM team, the final call here, the last minutes of a historic season, our own Sam Hyman here on 101.3 ESPN.
Left, and Coach Becker is going to call off the troops. That should do it here in Milwaukee. 5 seconds left. Ball game over. A tremendous effort in round one of the NCAA tournament, but the historic season of 2016-2017 comes to a close.
29-5, the most wins in school history, the most wins in program history. Or 29-6, rather, after that loss, but the most wins in school history. You get to the tournament, you run through the league. It can only be a success. Anthony Lamb, after his 20-point performance, talking with Sam Hyman in the postgame about last night's matchup.
It's just a resilience we've shown throughout the year. We just stayed together a lot throughout the year, and we just fought for each other, and we really wanted this for each other. So that's what we were fighting for the whole time, and thank God we have this opportunity. Thank God we got here, and I'm truly grateful for being able to play with all these players on my team. And I know that we should have got this done, but I mean, we can't change what happened.
Anthony Lamb, you know, he's really an amazing story. We all see the numbers. We know he was the rookie of the year. Some people say he might be the best player in the league already. The arc that he has had this season has been astronomical. I mean, he is a guy who played really, really well early in the St. Michael's scrimmage, for whatever that's worth. He went to Providence, and I think he had like 2 points in that game. Really, really struggled on the big stage. He wanted to be great. He talked about being great and playing big against big moments, and, you know, he's never been shy He's not a guy who is afraid to play teams bigger than him, stronger than him, or bigger than Vermont, rather. He's a guy who takes a lot of pride in trying to slay the giant, and when he played poorly against Providence, you knew that it hurt him. You could see that on his face because he did not play well in a big moment. He is a guy that the team was relying on at the end of the year. I mean, his ability to do everything, to shoot the outside shot, to hit free throws in the clutch, to battle down low with the opposition like Caleb Swanigan yesterday, his ability to speak to the media has just grown so much in the last 4 or 5 months. He's a special player to watch, and I know here that many, many people are excited that he'll be back for another 3 years in Burlington. Moving on here in batting practice, how about Lonzo Ball, another big star, UCLA. We know about his dad, LeVar Ball. Lonzo Ball talking about his pops.
He's been like that my whole life, so it's nothing new for me. Y'all just got a camera in front of his face now, so y'all seeing it for the first time. But to be honest, he definitely thinks he can do that. I mean, he's bigger than him, so I feel that he can just back him down. That's his thinking process. So, he's never going to change just for the camera. He's been the same his whole life.
Lonzo Ball talking about his dad. Again, this is such a touchy issue. I don't like the brashness. I don't think that Lonzo or that LeVar Ball can beat Michael Jordan. I don't think that Lonzo Ball is going to be as good as Steph Curry. But LaMelo Ball, who's the youngest of the three brothers, he said, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have their dads in their lives, and you're all mad at me because, or all mad at my dad because he's too involved in our lives. And he's absolutely right. We say that fathers need, you know, absentee fathers are what ruin society. Well, here's a guy who's too involved, and now he's ruining society also. I don't love it. I won't parent that way. I'm not that kind of arrogant. I don't have that kind of swagger to me, and I think I've lived a pretty good life not being like that. But if a guy wants to be like that and he's not committing crimes, then I guess it doesn't bother me that much. It rubs me the wrong way, but I don't think that he needs to change because he's not technically doing anything wrong. Sticking in college basketball, how about Dan Dockich talking about the Indiana opening this morning on Mike and Mike?
Indiana, the state, has not been recruited well since 1993. I could not, as an assistant, get Coach Knight to skip the Millie Schembechler Michigan golf outing practice round to spend the day with the best big guy in the country named Rafe LaFrenz, who was on our campus. I couldn't get Coach Knight to take one flight to go see Jacques Vaughn, who loved Indiana. Indiana hasn't been the state. The job hasn't been recruited, in my opinion, right since 93 or 94, whenever you want to say it. Mike Davis didn't want to recruit it. Calvin Sampson came in and immediately started cheating. And Tom Crean hasn't done a great job with the state of Indiana high school coach. I talk to high school coaches every day. I coached AAU in the state. They're all my friends. Tom did a great job recruiting nationally, but the state of Indiana had five top 50 players in the state. None of them came to Indiana. I'm not even sure any of them visited.
Why should you care about the Indiana job here in Burlington, Plattsburgh area? Twofold. One, yesterday we heard the rumor that Indiana may be a fit for Brad Stevens, who's the head coach of the Celtics. That doesn't seem likely to me because how entrenched Stevens is in wanting to be in the NBA game and what a good situation he's got with the Celtics. He's from Indianapolis. He had success at Butler. I mean, logistically, the job makes sense for him, but just in his heart, he's got no interest in going back. That's reason one. Reason two is how does that impact John Becker at Vermont? Is John Becker going to go from UVM, you know, not winning a tournament game this year, to Indiana? No. But who's going to get the Indiana job? Where is that guy going to come from? And is the job that's vacated by that guy a job that's going to reach out to John Becker? Possibly. You just don't know. Quinnipiac is going to reach out to John Becker, we hear. That was from a report in the Hartford Courant. We're trying to get somebody on from that area in Connecticut on next week to talk about it. Is NC State going to reach out with their job opening? What's going to happen with Washington? Washington's job is now open. Is somebody going to go, is a mid-major coach higher level than Vermont going to fill that job? And then John Becker's a candidate there. You just don't know how the coaching carousel is going to go, especially this early. You know, we're less than 24 hours removed from the UVM season being over. But John Becker is going to have some interest. And you start when these big programs have openings and they go and pull guys up. Well, the other guys from the mid-majors, they got to get pulled up too somewhere. So that might be where you start to see John Becker, his name getting rumored in a lot of different things. One more on college basketball. How about Greg Marshall? He's the head coach at Wichita State, talking about the injustices given to the mid-major conferences here in the tournament.
I just think there's a little bit of a movement, it seems, by the committee to squeeze out the non-Power Five. I really feel that. I mean, and then if they're going to allow a lot of these Power Five teams in, then they're going to place them against one another in the tournament. There's a lot of quality basketball being played at some of these places. And I'll go a step further. There's a lot of bad basketball being played at the Power Five leagues.
He's absolutely right. Absolutely right. The game we're watching right now, Rhode Island 68, Creighton 55. I know Creighton is now in the Big East, but you've got the A-10 against Creighton, a team that has been a mid-major pretty much its whole existence. You've got them playing against each other. That way you're going to knock off somebody that you feel doesn't belong. You got USC as an 11 playing SMU, who's been a mid-major its whole life. And then you can tell us that USC pulled a great upset. A team from the Pac-12 should be able to beat SMU. That's how that goes. That's how it should be done. But the committee wants to see those Power 5 teams in. The committee couldn't be happier that USC is playing, because USC is going to have more tickets, more revenue, more merchandise sales, better alumni base coming to the next round than SMU will. Batting practice here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Dana White, he runs UFC. He's talking about Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Is this going to happen?
I do think it's going to. I think it's going to be a tough deal. There's obviously a lot of egos involved in this deal. and a lot of people. So that always makes it tougher. But on the flip side, there's so much money involved. I just don't see how it doesn't happen.
It looks like it's going to happen. The question has been, what will the logistics be? Are they going to box? Is it going to be UFC? Well, Dana White says that it would be boxing, and how does he think McGregor would handle that?
Conor McGregor is huge. He's 27 years old. He's in the prime of his career. Floyd is 40. Floyd always had problems with southpaws. Conor is a southpaw, and Conor hits hard. When he hits people, they go. Floyd's definitely not knocking him out. That's for sure.
Well, Floyd Mayweather is not a knockout boxer. He's more of a defensive boxer than anything. He just kind of outlasts you. There's no way Conor McGregor beats Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. There's no way that Floyd Mayweather loses to Conor McGregor in a boxing match. No way, no way, no way. Floyd Mayweather loses to Conor McGregor in a boxing match. That's it for batting practice here on Champlain Valley Game Night. A couple other news and notes. Remember, we got Derek Dunning coming up here from the Frozen Four on the women's side. We'll talk a little Norwich men's hockey in the Frozen Four as well. That's tomorrow. Norwich looks to get to the national championship. Won the title back in, what, like 2010, I think it would be? 2009, 2010, Norwich won the national title. Rex Ryan is going to join ESPN this year. You knew Rex Ryan had a career in TV ahead of him. Fired by the Buffalo Bills, he will now go on to Sunday NFL Countdown. That's according to Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. He used to cover Rex when he was coach of the Jets. And he goes, you know, the one thing about being on TV is that you don't lose, Ryan said. You'll remember every damn loss, but the wins you don't necessarily remember. It takes a lot out of you. I'm tired of getting beeped. Unless it's a real situation, there's no sense of getting into coaching again. Rex Ryan will be great on TV. I hope they use him in a smart analyst role, not just to be a jokester, because Rex Ryan is informative. He's opinionated. He can be controversial, but I do think he can break down the tape and really educate the football fan, and I'm excited to see him as well. How about Manny Ramirez? Manny Ramirez is 44 years old. Did you know he was still playing, everybody? Well, Manny Ramirez is still playing. He's in the Japanese Independent Baseball League. And oh, by the way, he hit a double yesterday for the Kochi Island Fighting Dogs of the Independent Shikoku Island League. Well, earlier this week, we learned the details of his contract, and Manny Ramirez, unlimited sushi and optional practice. That sounds like something I could get behind here as well. Champlain Valley Game Night on this Friday. We're 5 minutes or so away from Derek Dunning joining us, but now in studio is Sam Hyman. He's the voice of the UVM men's basketball team. He's here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Sam, we got you for a couple minutes, so we got to go to Derek. Maybe we'll get back to you on the other side, too. What was it like to be in Milwaukee yesterday?
You know, it was a really cool experience. Milwaukee was just like each day was jam-packed with so many things. I mean, the first day we were there, we had the opportunity to go to Marquette's practice facility and check that out. And I think for the guys, it was a really cool experience because they were practicing, but the venue they were practicing at became different each time. So it was a unique experience. And the second day we were at the Bucks practice facility, actually walked by Jabari Parker. Oof. And he was actually
well, rehabbing, right?
Yeah, he was rehabbing. He was at he was playing in the Duke game when Vermont played Duke, so that was pretty cool. So just going to those venues was very unique and sweet.
What were the emotions of the players after? I watched a lot of the press conferences. I heard Anthony Lamb with you on the post game. Watched a lot of the TV coverage as well. What were the emotions of the players?
Well, Dre Wills, I think I said it towards the end of the game, he was in tears afterwards on the court. Just an emotional guy in general, and he plays with so much passion. So Dre was definitely heartbroken after that loss. And then just a couple of other guys were, I mean, Ernie Duncan was upset, Peyton. I mean, they all really wanted to win that game, and they played very well. But there was definitely emotion, and it wasn't like they lost to a big team, so it's not like they're going to get down. But they thought they belonged there, and I think they did for the majority of that game.
Sam Hyman, UVM broadcaster, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. Sam, a couple other quick news and notes that I want to get to here. So I mentioned it off the top of the show that the Hartford Courant came out with a report that said John Becker could be a candidate for them at Quinnipiac. And my thought is this. I want to see if you agree. If this is about basketball only, that's not even close to the right move for John Becker. He's got a lot coming back here. He's still going to have a very, very talented team. Quinnipiac, it's still a one-bid league, so now you've got to take a team that's a bottom feeder in the MAC and build them up, and how long is that going to take? If this is about basketball, it's not the right move. If it's about money and being closer to his parents and all that who are in Connecticut, then maybe it's in the conversation. But if I'm John Becker, I'm not even answering the phone of Quinnipiac calls.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think Vermont is a much better opportunity, and look what he's continuing to build here. And I think this season could be the beginning of potentially two, maybe three in a row American East championships, going back to what Coach Brennan did. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there's a lot of promise with this program, particularly with the fact that there could be a new arena on the horizon, and I think the talks for that are really escalating. So Coach Becker's done a great job here, and I think depending upon the school, then maybe, but he's got a lot to continue with success here at Vermont.
If I'm Coach Becker and I was ever going to entertain the idea of leaving this year, I would see if NC State calls me. I would see what happens at Indiana and Washington, see who fills those jobs and where they came from. I mean, that would be the smart play to me. For that alone, there's going to be better jobs open than Quinnipiac.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, anytime you look what happened last year with Steve Peichel going to Rutgers, which is not going to be competitive in that conference anytime soon, but it is a Power 5 job. So that maybe will draw his attention, but I have no idea. I think he's all about Vermont right now and what he's built for this program. And in the post-game press conference, he was just so proud of his team. So we'll see, but I think he really likes it here.
Sam, I think the last thing people want to know is we actually had a couple people call on this earlier. They're really worried that big programs are going to try to poach away Anthony Lamb. You know, Lamb, 20 points yesterday, rookie of the year in the league. Obviously, if a big conference school would want him, they would want him. But it's a lot more difficult than that, considering you're not allowed to actually call and try to poach people away. At least you're not supposed to be able to do that. But Anthony Lamb strikes me as a guy who is a loyal guy, who sees it as unfinished business here. He seems to like it here. And just because I just don't think it's in his nature to just leave for what people think are greener pastures. Do you get that impression that he's here to stay?
Yeah, I think he's here to stay. And just what he ingrained to me in a couple of times that I've just talked to him about what it has meant to come to Vermont, he says, just this is why I came to Vermont. After this game, this is another reason why he came to Vermont. And what the success that this program has. But, yeah, he's definitely one of the best, if not, I think you have to say top five in the conference right now, is one of the best players. But I think he's very loyal to Vermont and really wants to bring big things to Burlington.
Sam, we'll get you out of here on this. Arnie was talking about this earlier in the 4 o'clock hour, talking about he thinks this is the time for Vermont to think about switching conferences. And my opinion on that is, if you get the arena to the point where the arena is going to get built, if you're going to go all in, you might as well go all in. Arnie's like, I want him to join the Big East. I don't think that's realistic. If you're going to move up, maybe the Colonial Athletic Council, you know, the Colonial Athletic Association, you know, which is where Delaware went, where Northeastern went. Do you think this is a time where the university really needs to look at this as, I mean, we're watching Creighton right now. Creighton, Butler, Gonzaga, these mid-major teams that have moved up in the ranks here and have gotten to be national names. Does Vermont have a chance to do that? Do you think this is the time to go all in?
I think that's a great question. It's something that I would at least address and see what you can get out of it in talking with other conferences. But you're absolutely right. There's those mid-majors, and then there's mid-majors that are right above
VCU.
Right, with what VCU's done. And even like Wichita State.
St. Mary's.
Right. So I think that definitely should be raised to question potentially moving conferences. But obviously there's a lot that goes into that. But I think it's definitely something that should be talked about. And the new arena is a huge thing, not only for that, but just for bringing together more people. Because I remember Jeff Shulman, we got on the charter plane, and he said, you guys have touched so many people in Vermont, and you probably have no idea right now. And over time, you'll hear from many people in this state with what this season did for this state, let alone anything else.
Sam Hyman, UVM men's basketball broadcaster. You heard him all year long all 35 games, couple scrimmages, long trips to Florida, long trips to Butler, South Carolina. He was everywhere. He brought you all the great work on the pregame shows. He joined our show. He joined Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul. He made the rounds here in Burlington. You're off to call minor league baseball for the summer. We look forward to having you back next year as well. And, you know, look, we appreciate having you on this station, and a lot of positive feedback on your work from the fans, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate everyone listening to every game. I try and make it as entertaining and informative as possible. And to Brady and Willie G and everyone that's been behind the scenes working the board and running the games and recording the games, that was very helpful. So it's been a heck of a run and I look forward to more in the future here in Burlington.
Derek Dunning from the Division III Women's Frozen Four next. We'll talk Norwich, Plattsburgh. We'll talk the Norwich men, all that and more. Champlain Valley Game Night next.
Hey, this is Jeff Paul, host of Sports Saturday. Don't miss Irvin Bryson, head coach of the Vermont Bucks. He joins the show at 10:40 as we break down the Bucks' opening game of the season against Connecticut from Friday night. We're Sports Saturday, this Saturday and every Saturday from 10 to noon, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Front. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night. Final segment, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We go up until 7, then NCAA tournament action kicks in over here. We've had it on 960 The Zone all day. We're watching Rhode Island wrap up a win over Creighton. It's a 15-point lead here for the Rams, 40 seconds to play. But we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, and we find ourselves Derek Dunning, who's the Sports Information Director at Norwich University out in Michigan right now for the Women's Hockey D3 Frozen Four. The Men's Frozen Four is tomorrow. The Cadets will play in that in Lake Placid. Derek, tough one for you as a Norwich guy. Good one for us here locally in that at Plattsburgh, Norwich was a national semifinal. The Cardinals win that game 4-0. Will advance to the national title game. Tough one for the Cadets, which is where you work, but just tell us overall what you saw and what your impressions of the game were.
Yeah, Brady, obviously Plattsburgh, you know, very strong program, three-time national champions, and they proved it today with how they played. Players like Melissa Sheeran, Kayla Menigan, Aaron Brand, they always step up. There's a reason why they're All-Americans, and every single one of them were on the score sheet today with goals. So, Plattsburgh State's got a lot of good things going their way right now, and they played like it today.
Now, you saw Plattsburgh play earlier this year because Norwich and Plattsburgh play each other frequently throughout the regular seasons. Did this Cardinal team get better even than what you saw earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think Coach Houle does a great job with his program, and that's why they continue to keep reeling off these national championships. They've won 5 overall, and they always seem to be playing their best hockey at the end of the season. And, you know, they certainly played like it today. I think Norwich had a little bit of an off game, got a little deer in the headlights kind of look kind of thing, because Plattsburgh's had Norwich's number. It's now 13 straight that Plattsburgh has come out unbeaten with a 11-0-2 record against Norwich. So just can't get over the hump right now. And, you got to give a lot of credit to Plattsburgh. They just have a lot of great players that step up in the big games to make the big plays. And that's why they're in position to try to go for their fourth national championship tomorrow.
Still a great season overall for the Cadets. I mean, this is a team that lost, if I'm not mistaken, in the conference tournament final a year ago, and now they're in the national semifinal a year later. Speak about the season for Coach Boulding and his team.
Yeah, it's certainly been a strong year. Anytime you can make it to the national semifinals, you got to consider that a great year. The team got better as the year went along. A little bit of a slow start, getting used to each other with a lot of new freshmen. But they really started to peak towards the end of the year. They won 8 straight, including winning the NEHC title after not winning it last year. You know, a pretty impressive showing against Manhattanville to win 5-0 at home at Kreitzberg. And then a huge game against Middlebury in the NCAA quarterfinals last weekend, coming back from 2 separate 2-goal deficits to come back and win 5-4 in double overtime against a great Middlebury team who had beaten Norwich earlier in the season. So, you never are disappointed when you can make it to the national semifinals. And, obviously the result, not what they were looking for today, but there's a third place game tomorrow, and there's a chance to be able to end on a winning note against the Gustavus Adolphus Adrian loser. And I'm sure the girls will be ready to go for that, and be able to do it for the seniors. There's 2 seniors on this year's team, Celeste Robert and Adele Murphy. So try and win one more and let them go out on a winning note.
Let's move over to the Norwich men. They'll play in the NCAA quarterfinals tomorrow against Hamilton. That game at home against at Kreisberg Arena. Look, I picked it as my bold local prediction here for 2017 that the Cadets were going to win the national title. How am I looking on that one?
Well, I think obviously in the final eight, so you're looking pretty good. You know, the men have been having a great year. Only one loss so far to Skidmore, and they're on a 22 or 23 game unbeaten streak heading into this weekend. But there's three wins left to get, and it starts with Hamilton tomorrow night at Kreisberg. Very strong program, having a great year. They've won 20 games this year and won the NESCAC regular season title. So a very strong program, and they're coming off a win over Oswego State, both of our alma mater. So never easy to go into the Campus Center and win. They beat Oswego 3-1. So it should be a great game, and we're definitely going to be scoreboard watching from out here in Michigan after the women's game gets over. They play at 3 tomorrow, and we'll be definitely tuning into that one and hoping Norwich can get the W and make it to the Frozen Four in Utica.
You had to mention that Hamilton beat both of our alma maters, but be honest, how happy are your heartstrings that you didn't have to watch Oswego and Norwich play? Because I already had enough grief for UVM and UAlbany in the America East Basketball Championship. I don't know that I could have handled Oswego-Norwich hockey.
Yeah, it would have been tough for sure. It would have made coming out here to Michigan with the women for the Frozen Four a little bit more difficult, having to give up the Norwich-Oswego game at home. But, Hamilton made it easy for me there that they won, so didn't have to deal with that coming out here. But it should be a great game, and, Coach Kostick had a great year with Oswego, and I'm sure they'll be back and in the thick of it again for sure in the near future.
Derek Dunning, Norwich Sports Information Director, joining us live from the Division III Hockey Women's Frozen Four out in Michigan. The Norwich Men in the National Quarterfinals tomorrow at home, Kreisberg Arena down in Northfield. They're taking on Hamilton. Derek, hey, congratulations to the team you're with right now, the women's hockey team at Norwich, on a great season as well. Could finish as high as third in the country. Best of luck to the Norwich Men. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Sounds good, Brady. Thanks.
That was Derek Dunning with us. Thanks to Sam Hyman, who sat in with us here in this hour. Thanks to him for coming in as well in the 4 o'clock hour to give us the full recap of UVM. Thanks to Buster Olney, who stopped by as well. A jam-packed week. All the interviews and podcasts, if you missed anything, available at 1013ESPN.com, Facebook, 1013ESPN, online on Twitter at 1013ESPN, your one-stop shop for all things here in the greater Champlain Valley. What a year it was for the UVM men's hoops team. McGillicuddy's Williston, very good to us today. McGillicuddy's Colchester, very good to us yesterday as well. Happy St. Patrick's, everybody. Ain't St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Stay safe out there. Have fun. My party's about to start here in a couple minutes as well. I'll see you guys out there on the town again. Stay safe. Congrats to the Plattsburgh State women. Congrats to the Norwich women, the UVM men. We'll see you next week in the huddle and on Champlain Valley Game Night.
Hey, this is Jeff Paul, host of Sports Saturday. Bernie Siplicki and I break down the NCAA.